Today's daf is Avodah Zarah daf Samach Zayin. We left off on daf Samach Vav and Beis in the last skinny line. Amar Rav Mari Kitanai. We were in the middle of the sugya of Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa. To what extent does aroma affect the kashrus of food? If it comes from a non-kosher aroma, we pointed out yesterday that this seems to be not just one sugya in Shas, but two sugyas in Shas, a sugya here and a sugya Maseches Pesachim, and Tosfos discusses whether those two sugyas are related to each other. So we're going to show today that perhaps it's a machlokas tanoim, whether Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa. In both places in Shas, it's machlokas amoraim. We had Abaye Rava, the sugyim Pesachim is Rav and Levi. Okay, maybe it's not the same exact machlokas, but what about the machlokas tanaim? So that's going to be the first thing we're going to discuss today. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the issue with the majority of today's daf is all about nosin tam lifgam. The Mishnah had said that whenever a dvar iser is nosin tam into a food, but it's nosin tam lifgam, it gives a negative taste into the food, that is not going to aser the food. So the Gemara is going to talk about what if initially something is nosin tam lishvach, but then afterwards, it later turns into a tam lifgam. Is that going to be mutter? Then we're going to have two versions of Reish Lakish as far as how nosin tam lifgam works in light of other ingredients. Meaning, maybe now that this dvar iser gave tam into this food, it's a tam pogum. But other ingredients could have compensated for the tam pogum and made it okay. Do we take that into account? If I just would have put more salt in, I wouldn't even taste this tam pogum. So we're going to have two versions of how Reish Lakish deals with that issue. Then the Gemara is going to give three basic rules of how tam of a davar aser affects a davar mutter. That if you have actual davar aser that mixes in with the davar mutter, then you get malchus. If it's only the tam, it's not the actual mamashos, so not malchus, but aser. No sin tam lefgam is aser. If it gives a tam leshvach, no sin tam leshvach is aser. If it gives a tam lefgam, it gives a negative taste, then it's going to be mutter. Then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to explain each side of Machlokas Tanaim. We're going to discover that not everyone agrees that Nosin Tam Lefgam is mutter. That there is a Shita in Tanaim that holds that even when a negative taste is imparted, it's still going to be Aser. So we're going to explain each side of that Machlokas Tanaim about Nosin Tam Lefgam and how they relate to the requirement of Giulei Ovdei K'chavim. After Melchemes Midyan, we get all of these kelim from these non-Jews who clearly were cooking non-kosher food in those kelim. So the Torah gives us a whole parsha of how to kasher kelim. Obviously a parsha that we're focused on in these days before Pesach. But how to kasher kelim. So how do you relate to the requirement of kasher and kelim in light of the fact that whenever something is nosin tam lifgam, which we assume, blios and kelim, at some point are only going to be a negative tam in whatever food you cook it in afterwards. So if nosin tam lifgam is always going to be mutter, why do I ever have to kasher any kelim? Just wait 24 hours till it's nosin tam lifgam and let it be mutter. So the Gemara is going to deal with that as well. So let's again begin. Samech vavam beis. Last skinny line on the page, and we're still in the middle of the sugya of Recha Milsa or Recha Lav Milsa. Amar Rav Mari Kitanai, it's a machlokas tanaim. You don't need Abaye and Rava, you don't need Rav and Levi. It's a machlokas tanaim. The machlokas tanaim goes as follows. It's a Mishnah in Maseches Trumos. Haroda Paschama. If someone takes off a hot bread from an oven, there's a maisa called Rediyas HaPas. Rediyas HaPas was a whole to-do. It wasn't as simple as when we take bread out of an oven. They used to make bread around an oven by sticking the dough onto the walls of the oven rather than just having loaves of bread in pans inside of the oven. So if someone is Roda Pas, he removes the hot bread from the oven. In other sugyas and shas, it matters that that's the way they did it, that it was much more of a tircha and that it was much more of an avoda to remove the bread from the oven. In this sugya, it's not really relevant. The point is, the bread is hot. That's all that really matters in our sugya. So someone takes hot bread from an oven. V'nasna al pichavis shal yayin shal truma. And he places the hot bread over the opening of a barrel of truma wine. So truma obviously is usher for a zar, and now he's got hot bread sitting on the top of the truma wine. Remeir says, okay, that bread is now going to be usher. It's going to draw in the reyach of the yayin. It's not the mamashus, but the reyach of the yayin and the recha milsa apparently, and therefore it's going to be aser. Rabbi Yehuda Mati, Rabbi Yehuda says, apparently what Rabbi Yehuda holds is that even though in achinami it's going to draw in some of the reyach of the yayin, but since when does reyach cause a problem? Reyach is not going to be an issue, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Rabbi Yossi matir b'shalchitin va'osar b'shal sa'orim. And Rabbi Yossi says, well, it depends what the bread is made out of. If it's wheat bread or barley bread. If it's wheat bread, then it's going to be mutter. We assume it's not going to draw in the reyach of the yayin. If it's barley bread, then it's going to be asur. It will draw in the reyach of the yayin. Mesha sa'orim shavos. One of the characteristics of barley is that it's shoev. It tends to have this like magnetic pull. It pulls in the reyach of whatever it's on top of. So my love, leaving aside the nuance of Rabbi Yossi's position, Meir Rabbi Yehuda, what are they arguing about? Don't they agree in the Metzius that the reyach does get imparted from the wine to the hot bread that's on top of the wine? And they're arguing in halacha, is reycha milsa, is reycha lav milsa? So you see that it's in fact a machlokas tanaim. So why do I need a machlokas abayi and Rava about this? Says Gemara, you're half right. Le Rava vaday tanaihi. Rava holds reycha lav milsa will have no other way of explaining why Rabbi Meir says that it's usher, that the bread, the hot bread on the wine is usher, other than to say that Rav Meir disagrees with him, and that Rav Meir holds Recha Milsa. So Rava will say, you're right, this is exactly the source in Tanaim for the issue of Recha Milsa, Recha Lav Milsa, and all I did was paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rav Meir, which is pretty normal. We generally paskin like Rabbi Yehuda against Rav Meir. So according to Rava, absolutely, it's a machlokas Tanaim. But La Abaye, according to Abaye, says Recha Milsa, how's he going to explain why Rabbi Yehuda is matir by the bread, the hot bread on top of the wine? So La Abaye, Abaye will say it's not a machlokas tanaim. Everyone will agree to me that Recha Milsa, that you do have to be concerned with Recha. Mi lema tanai, amlech Abaye lav mi itmar Allah, amr Rabba bar Bechana, amr Shlakish, bepaschama, bechavis psucha, divrei akal asura. Says Abaye, you know what? Everyone, all the Tanaim agree that Recha Milsa. What they're arguing about is a specific case and whether in that specific case there is Recha. If you have a case where it's obvious that there's Recha, then all the Tanaim would agree. Reish Lakish already explains, if it's hot bread and a wide open barrel of wine, Divrei HaKol Asura, everyone would say that it's Asur, because that's clearly going to transfer Recha from one to the other. Bepas Sonenes V'chavis Magufa, Divrei HaKol Muteres. And if it's cold bread and a sealed barrel, everyone would hold putting the bread on top of the barrel does absolutely nothing. It's 100% mutter. Lo nechleku el bepas chama v'chavis magufa. The machlokas is, what do you have somewhere in between? You have pas chama and the barrel is closed. Bepas tzonenes v'chavis psucha. Or you have cold bread but it's an open barrel. V'hadi dinami kepas chama v'chavis psucha dami. So says Abai, when I'm talking about Recha, I'm talking about where there's a no doubt about it Recha, where it's like the hot bread, the open barrel of wine. Yeah, that's the kind of Recha that I think is going to be problematic. Meaning, what was the case of that Abai and Rava actually argued about? It was a case of Bastiha, where we said, Yisrael bedovid chavim by Amrasa. What was Bastiha? That the Jew goes and smells the yayin nesach of a guy. So that's an absolute Recha case, where you're absolutely directly benefiting from the Recha. So Abai says, yeah, the parallel in transference of Recha from one food to another, to my case, would be the case of Paschama and Chavis Psucha. And that, there's no machlokas tanaim about that. Everyone would agree is going to be Recha Milsa. So we had this also, we already started discussing yesterday the machlokas, the discussion in Tosfos, whether this machlokas relates to the other machlokas in Maseches Psachim about Recha. Because machlokas in Maseches Psachim does not seem to be about actually benefiting, enjoying the reyach of something. In Maseches Psachim, it seems to be more about what this Mishnah in Trumas is about, which is the transference of reycha from one food to another. That even though the tam of the food isn't there, but somehow the aroma of one food goes to the other food. And the Gemara discussed it in the context of cooking two foods in the same oven at the same time. are you concerned that the reyach is going to go from one food to the other? Which is a very interesting thing, because based on the Gemara alone, one would get the impression that cooking two foods in the oven, one right after the other, is absolutely not a problem. That the whole issue is reicha. Reicha is only there when you have both foods in the oven at the same time. The Gemara explicitly discusses both foods in the oven at the same time, and when they say in the oven at the same time, they not only mean that you don't have a double oven, one for fleishes, one for milchis, they mean that both foods are uncovered in the oven at the same time. So where does it come from that we're makbid not to even do zeh achar zeh, not to even do one right after the other? So that's, of all places, a Mishnah Maseches Mikvaos that discusses an entirely different issue that for some reason never made it really into any of the discussions in the Gemara. And that is the issue of zeah, that in addition to the issue of recha, in very close quarters, we're concerned for zeah, that some of the moisture is going to go to the top of the oven and then it will drip back down into the food. If you have hot moisture, steam, that goes up to the top of the oven and gets absorbed in the top of the ceiling of the oven, and then you put another food in afterwards, and the next food will also have steam, and the steam will heat up the top of the oven again, and then will drip back down into the food, that is going to cause a problem, because if I had fleishigs, now I put milchigs in, so some of the zeya that's going to drip back down in the milchigs is going to be infused with the tam, or the actual mamashas even, of the fleish that was in the oven before. So that's a machlokas, a significant machlokas haposkim, how to deal with the issue of zeya. So certainly you could avoid zeya by just covering the food, because all the zeya will remain inside, the zeya and the recha will remain inside the pot if you cover the food, so you wouldn't have to worry about either one if you just cover the food. So some people are just, you know, don't want to enter the shayla, and they'll make their oven, let's say a fleishig oven, and if I ever cook milchigs in the oven, I'll always make sure it's covered, which always works until Erev Shavuos, because apparently every single cheesecake recipe on earth requires that the cheesecake be uncovered for some period of time. So that's when the shaylas start coming in. So what do? I need to make a cheesecake that's uncovered, because it's a mitzvah d'arais on Shavuos to have cheesecake. So I need to, it's not really, I need to, you never know, people are going to get emails, angry emails. How could you say? So so what do you do in that situation? So that's a significant machlokas haposkim. The shittas range from the Aruch HaShulchan, who is the most mekil, to Rav Moshe, who is the most machmir in this issue. The Aruch HaShulchan held that as long as the oven cools down, you don't even need to wait 24 hours. If the oven cools down between milchigs and fleishigs, so then it's fine. You can cook open milchigs, open fleishigs. You just let the oven cool down in between. There are some people that are sumach on the Aruch HaShulchan. It's not the popular shita anymore. Rav Moshe, also not so much the popular shita. Rav Moshe held that there's nothing you could do, that you need to have one item always covered, or kasher the oven afterwards, you know, an oven insert or something. There's nothing you can really do to make it okay other than to cover one of the foods. Others assume that if you wait 24 hours, that alone is going to be enough, just waiting 24 hours after having cooked the last open thing on the in the oven. I think that was Rav Salvechik, I think maybe Rav Shlomo Zalman also held that way, but that was that's another shita that poskim have. Okay, so let's go weiter in the Gemara now. So now we are holding at the two dots on Samach Zayin Amid Aleph. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zaklal Kol Shabanas Benosin Tam. So he said that the rule is when ever there is nesinas tam lishvach, it's going to be a problem. Nosin tam lifgam is going to be mutter. So says Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hachi Hilchasa, that this is the way we in fact paskin, that nosin tam lifgam is mutter. So you don't have to worry if the isser that gave tam into the heter was negative tam into the heter. Vam Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, lo shanu ela shenafal toch grisin rotchin. That's only if wine falls on hot greasin, on hot porridge of beans or whatever, that's when it's going to be nosin tam lefgam. Aval nafal, it's all greasin sonin in, but But if it falls on top of cold greasin, then vihirtichan, and then you later heat it up, nasa kimi sheshviach l'b'sof pagam va'aser. Then that's like it was initially nosin tam l'shvach, because in greasin sonin, and apparently the yayin will give tam l'shvach, and then hirtichan, you later heat it up, now it becomes a tam pagum, that's going to be aser. If initially it gave a tam l'shvach, and then was l'b'sof pagam, that's going to be aser. V'chein kiyas Ravin Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana. So not only did Rabbi Dom Shmuel say this, Ravin said a name Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Lo Shadol El Shnafel Toch Grisin Rodchan Av Nafel Toch Grisin Sonin V'tichon Naskim Yishu Shviach L'Bsof Pagam Va'asur. Same exact Shita, that if it initially fell into Grisin Soninin, and then where it gave a positive time, and then you heat it up and it gave a negative time, it's going to be aser. V'chein kiyasa Rav Dimi v'chulei. And Rav Dimi said the same thing. So we have three Gedolei Amoraim, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabba Bar Chana, and Rav Dimi all say in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that if it initially gives a tam l'shvach, even though ultimately afterwards it's going to become pagum, it's going to be aser based on that initial tam l'shvach. And this is what they used to do in Arve Shabbosos and Tzipore, by making such a dish that involved yayin, not yayin nesach, because that would be problematic, but it involved yayin and greasin, and this was a famous dish that people would have, and you should know that when you do it sonein, it's actually going to give a tam l'shvach, and the raya that they give a tam l'shvach is this was the special Shabbos meichel. This is what they would have every Arve Shabbos and Tzipore. And you know what it used to be called? It used to be called Shechlayim. So it's an interesting discussion. The Sefer Shulchan HaTorah points out that you see from here that there's an inyan of being mahadir to prepare a machl miyuchad l'Shabbos. Some food that you have that's dafka, a Shabbos food, that you know, it's a delicacy that you don't have during the week. And he says that's why the minig is that on Shabbos we eat something called Kugel, that's a machl miyuchad the Shabbos, something that you dafka have specifically for Shabbos. The Zer Zav quotes from Rashi on the pasuk Amim Har Yikro in Dvarim Lamed Gimel that the Tigrei Umos Ha'olam, the merchants of the Umos Ha'olam, come to Yerushalayim and they see the Jewish people that are Ovdim Le'Eloka Echad, they serve one God and they're eating Ma'achal Echad. What? That's not what you see when you go to Yerushalayim. Jews eating one Ma'achal? You know how many restaurants there are? There's not one Ma'achal in Yerushalayim. So he said, no, what's that? And what's the Maila of eating Ma'achal Echad? Why would that be? No, Ovdim Le'Eloka Echad, that I get. That's a very important thing. But Ma'achal Echad? So he says, no, what does it mean? Machal Echad means Machal HaMiyuchad, something that's Miyuchad l'Shabbos, that when it comes to Shabbos, there's some food that they designate for Shabbos. In the Pesach Hadvir, according to the Panini Halacha section of the Masifta, he asks a fundamental question. There is this mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, this mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos that we enjoy through the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos, and he wants to know why is it that if there's such a mitzvah that we don't recite a bracha on the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos? Why not before the meal we say a bracha? Sharek Rishonim Tzalsa V'Tzivanu al Oneg Shabbos, or al mitzvah Oneg Shabbos, or al mitzvah Suda Shabbos, something of that nature. So there is a similar discussion when it comes to the Seder night, that we do recite a birchas mitzvah on matzah. So we cited Birch Samitzvah on Mar, no Birch Samitzvah on Sipri Tzis Mitzrayim, and no Birch Samitzvah on the Dalet Kosos. So the Abu Dram discusses, why no Birch Samitzvah on the Dalet Kosos? Why not before the Dalet Kosos? Asher Kishon Mitzvah Tzivitzvahnu al Shtiyas, Dalet Kosos Shal Yayin. Why is there no Birch Samitzvah? So the Abu Dram writes in the Seder Agada that the reason we don't say a bracha on Dalet Kosos is because you only say a bracha on a mitzvah that's done bebas achas below hefsek, that's done at one time below without breaking in between. And Dalet Kosos, if you drink it shasan b'bas achas, the halacha is lo yotze. If you drink it all at once, you're not yotze. It has to be four separate kosos. Chazal were masaking that it's dafki. Each one has its spot. One is a kos shel kiddush, and one is a kos of sipri tzis mitzrayim, and one is a kos of birchas hamazon, and one is a kos of halal. Each one has its spot. But since it's drawn out, so that's why there's no birchas mitzvah. So perhaps, says the Pesach Hadvir, the same is true by Suda Shabbos, that it's a mitzvah nimsheches. What do you mean a mitzvah nimsheches? What makes it a mitzvah nimsheches? Because it's three sudos. The mitzvahs have three sudos. So it's one, two, three. So that's over the course of the entire day. That's why there's no... There's no birchas mitzvah. In the Stei Chemed, he doesn't like that teretz because he says you can't. The comparison is not correct. Dalet kosos is one mitzvah. So the Amram writes, okay, good. You can't be mekayim it at one time, so you can't say a bracha. Suda Shabbos, each suuda is a separate kiyum mitzvah. So there are three separate mitzvahs. So you have to make a bracha. You should have to make a bracha on each suuda because each suuda is. What if a person, let's say, has two suudas and then doesn't eat shalosh suudas? He wasn't yotzei the mitzvah of the first two suudas of Shabbos. He wasn't Yotzei Shalosh Shudas, but he's Yotzei the first two Suudas. How do you say that he's not Yotzei the mitzvah of Suuda? So of course he's Yotzei the mitzvah of Suudas. That's what Stechem points out, that Luchor, the comparison is not such a good comparison. Instead, the Stechem quotes from other Achronim who suggest that Chazal were never Masakin in Birchus HaMitzvah. Chazal were only Masakin in Birchus HaMitzvah when it's Nikr Mitoch Masav, that you're doing something for the sake of a mitzvah. Meaning you take a lulav of an Esra. Why on earth would a person ever wave a branch and a citron or whatever, other than for the mitzvah? So it's nicker that you're doing it for a mitzvah. You're lighting Neros Chanukah. We dafka light Neros Chanukah in a way that it's clear that it's not lighting up our house, that it's not meant to give us light. Why would you be doing that? It's clear that you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. But people like to eat. People have meals. People, so the eating through the Shabbos is not necessarily nicker that you're doing it for the sake of a mitzvah. Other Achronim suggest we don't make a bracha on the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos and eating three sudos because it's part of the mitzvah of being Makadish HaShabbos, so it's included in the bracha of Kiddush. Others say that no, you make a bracha on a mitzvah of achila when the achila itself is a mitzvah. For example, the mitzvah of achilas matzah, achilas maror. But by Suda Shabbos, it's not that the achila per se is a mitzvah. It's that the enjoyment you're getting from the achila is a kiyum mitzvah. But there's no mitzvah to eat this or to eat that. It's a mitzvah to have suudos. But that's what we always say in Pesach. Some sofer points out we have that unique opportunity. The one mitzvah achila daraisa that we have all year now is achilas matzah. We pass in mar bisman hazeh is drabanan. There are no karbanos bisman hazeh, unfortunately, so we don't have the ability to do that mitzvah achila. The one real mitzvah achila. What about Suda Shabbos? That's not a mitzvah sachila. It's a mitzvah to have sudos, but you can't say about any particular food that there's a mitzvah daraisa on any level to eat that food. Just a couple of more points before we go on. The Gemara doesn't say why it is that hishbiach l'b'sof pagam, that it's aser. The Gemara over here said that if it's initially the iser is nosin tam l'shvach, and then it becomes pagam, that it's aser. Gemara doesn't explain why. So in the Chidushei Haran, he explains why. He says this is based on the famous sugya in Chulin Daf Kuf called Chaticha Nasas Nevela. Chaticha Atzma Nasas Nevela, which means that the Chaticha of Heter, the piece of food that is mutter, that receives tam of iser, and because of the tam of iser that's in that food, the food becomes aser. It's not only aser, it's not only that the tam of iser inside of it is aser, but the entire piece of mutter food becomes the iser. The entire kosher food, what was initially the kosher food, now that it has tam of iser, the chaticha atzma nases nevela. The whole thing becomes the nevela. It all becomes iser. So that's the reason, says the Ran, hishpiach l'b'sof pagam is aser. Because even though at the right now that it's already pogum, that the tam has been pogum the tafshil, but initially, as soon as it was hishpiach, the entire piece of food became the nevela itself. So even though, yeah, the wine ingredient now was pogum, made the food less tasty than it used to be, that's irrelevant. The whole food has already become nevela. It's still edible nevela. So as long as it's a piece of edible nevela, it's going to be problematic. There is a machlokas achronim. What if it was the reverse? What if you have chometz, you have wine vinegar that falls into grisim rotchim, falls into the hot grisim, which is nosin tam l'gam, would give it a negative taste, and then it's nitztanin. What happens to the grisim if you just leave it away from a source of heat? Ultimately, it will cool down. So once it cools down, so now do we assume that it's nosin tam l'shvach? So this is machlok sachron on what the metzius is. Do we assume b'metzius it's now going to turn into a tam l'shvach and therefore be aser? Do we assume no? Once it initially fell into hot grisim, it's a tam l'shvach, and therefore nothing that happens afterwards is going to turn it into a tam l'shvach. Even though we said in the other direction, it will change. It will change from a tam l'shvach to a tam l'shvach, but maybe it won't change in the other direction. The Rambam in Hilchos Machlos Asuras Perek Tes Vav Halacha Chav Ches says that Hu Adin Lahefich, that if Pagal Mul B'Sof Hishpiach, it's Asur. Initially, it gives a Tam L'Fgam, then it cools down and becomes a Tam L'Shvach, it's going to be Asur. Says Machlokas Achronim in this din. According to the Shach in Yerdeas in Kuf Gimel, the Isur is only going to be once it's Hishpiach, but before it's Hishpiach, it's Mutter, even though it will be Mashpiach Acharkein. It will later become a Tam L'Shvach. Right now it's Tam Pagum, right now it's Mutter. Shach says this is Mefurish in the Yisr V'Hatar Ha'aruch. However, many other Achronim, the Knesset Gdol, the Pri Chadosh, disagree with the Shach, and they write that even before it's Hishpiach Hatzasar, if you know that something that's been Nosin Tam L'Fgam, it's just a matter of time, you just have to be patient, ultimately it will be Mashpiach, that already makes it Asr right now. The Pri Chadosh says, I see that the Shach has an Yisr V'Hatar on his side, I have Yerushalmi that says this way Beferish. So my backing is from Yerushalmi. The Meiri in our Sugya writes Beferish like the Pri Chadosh. The Meiri writes V'Yirayli Shekol Shesofa Lashpiach Aser Af Kodem Sheshpiach. Anything that ultimately will be Lashvach is going to be Aser even before it actually becomes Lashvach. But, it says the Meiri, if the derech of the tavshil is to eat it before it cools down, then it's mutter. Meaning if it's normal to eat it while it's still hot, when it's no Saint Tam Lefgam, then it's going to be mutter. Now, we just pointed out that there is machlokas achronim, what would be the din if the chometz falls into grisim rotchim, and then it's nitzdanin? Does the chometz go back to being mashpiach the grisim after it's nitzdanin, or do we say that no, since it wasn't mashpiach initially, so it's not going to be mashpiach afterwards either. According to those shitos that after it cools down, the chometz goes back to be mashpiach the grisim, you can't hold like the Levush and the Taz that Pagum Sob Fishbiach is Asr even at the time that it's still Pagum. Because if that were the case, how are you going to explain the halacha of Chometz Shenafel Tol Grisim Rotchim, where our Gemara says it's Mutter, right? Meaning if you hold that as soon as it's Nitzdanein, it's not only going to become that it's not only going to become Asr, but because it will become Asr, it's Asr even beforehand, well then our whole Gemara is not going to make sense. So it must be their shita follows the shita of the Shach, that B'shas V'tichas HaGrisim, it's Mutter, it's only after it's Nitzdanein that it's actually going to become Aser. Okay, let's see the Gemara further now. Amar Reish Lakish, No Sein Tam L'Fgam Sha'amru. When we say No Sein Tam L'Fgam, Lo Shiyomru Kedei Rezu Chaser Melech, Yeser Melech, Chaser Tavlin, Yeser Tavlin. It's not that you're saying that this food could use a little salt, a little more salt, a little less salt, a little more spices, a little less spices. No, it means that this food is perfectly good, but for the fact that this davar aser fell into it, which is nosin tam levgam, as Rashi explains. Kol she'in chaseru shum tikun ve'ina nachels mepnei zeh. Kolomar ve'isur zeh pogim taima ve'ina nachels lav dafka. Meaning, no sin tam lefgam is going to be usher. He's trying to say chumba. It's not that it's something that gives the tam pogum and the tavshil because of something else. Meaning, you say, oh, this tavshil is no good because it's missing salt, it could use a little more salt. No, that's not called nosin tam lefgam. Nosin tam lefgam is everything else is perfect about this tavshil, but this davar asr that fell in ruins the taste a little bit. And Rashi points out, it doesn't mean that it has to make the taste, that it makes it inedible. The tavshil might still be edible, but it's less good because of the isr that fell into it. The isr that fell into it was pogim b'miktsas and made it less good than it otherwise would have been. So that's the sheet of Reish Lakish according to the first version of Reish Lakish. The Ikata Amri Am Reish Lakish, but then there's a second version of Reish Lakish which goes more Lekula, that Nosin Tam Lefkam Sharmu Einom Kederu Zu Chaseri Melech Yiseri Melech Chaseri Tavlin Yiseri Tavlin Ela Hashta Mia HaPagma. What does that mean and in what way is this different than the first Lashon? So if you look at Rashi, the Ikata Amri Had Reish Lakish Lekula Nosin Tam Lefkam Sharmu Ein Omer Kolomer Ein tolin hapagam bidavar acher. We don't assume that the fact that the taste got worse is based on something else. lomar chaseri himelach vilu oisa kitakuna loisa zera isra pogma. You know, that it must be that there are problems with the other ingredients. But if the other ingredients would have been done properly, then this isra would not have been pogim the food. Shamelach hayim avatals pigimas tame isra. Maybe the salt would have overpowered the pigima that came from the tame isra. Umesakno elakivan the tame isra pogma achshav kamoshihi. Have a pigama mutter. I don't think about how I could have compensated for the tam lufgam that the Isra gave. If the Isra gives the tam lufgam, that's it. That means that it's mutter. Even though there may have been a way to doctor it up where the Isra would not have, the tam lufgam from the Isra would not have affected the food in any way. That's the second version of Reish Lakish. Okay, says Gemara further now. Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we already had Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Barbachana, Rav Dimi, all saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that if the chometz falls into grease and rotchin, then it's going to be nosin tam lufgam and it's going to be mutter. So now Amar Rabbi Avo, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, also something related to nosin tam lufgam, but he sort of zooms out a little bit and says, broad view, what happens when a davar iser mixes with a davar mutter? So he says, kol shatamu mamasho, aser velokin alav zayis b'kdeachil pras. Three rules. Rule number one is that whenever there's an actual davar aser, not tam of davar aser, the actual davar aser gets mixed in bitaroves with the davar mutter, and you eat the davar mutter, you can get malchus if the ratio is enough that in eating the davar mutter, you're actually having a kazayis of davar aser within the period of time that it takes to eat a pras of the taroves. So you have some nevela that fell into your chalent. If you eat a pras of chalent, in eating a pras of chalent, you're eating a kezayis of nevela, then you're going to get malchus, because you had a full kezayis of nevela. Tam of lo mamasho. But what if it only is nosin tam? It's not actual mamashos that you're getting. You're just getting the tam of the food. So then aser ve'en lokin alav. It's going to be aser, but there's not going to be any malchus without any mamashos. And Rashi says, example, it's tam of lo mamasho. Gon chelev shnafal l'kadeira, o chelev shnafal nimoach, shein mamasho be'en. Where it totally gets absorbed and the mamashos is not there. The imriba tam lufgam mutter, and a third rule is that if it's tam lufgam, it's going to be mutter. That if the davar aser, yes, gives tam into the food, but it gives a negative tam into the food, then it's going to be mutter. Now, this idea of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras is something that's very nogeya for Hilchos Pesach as well, because the idea of kezayis b'chdei achilas pras is not only a din in isure achila, but it's a din in mitzvah achila as well. Then when it comes to mitzvahs of achila, the mitzvah of achila is normally a kezayis, and how much time do you have to eat the kezayis? A kedei achilas pras. So a pras is chatzi kikar, it's a half of loaf of bread. Pras means a half. So a half a loaf of bread. Machlokas tanaim and erev and daf pei beis, what the shear is. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka, it is the size of 6 eggs. So meaning a full loaf is 6 eggs, and therefore a pras is shalosh beitzim, the size of 3 eggs. Rabbi Shimon holds that it's a shmona beitzim for a full pras, for a full loaf, for a full kikar, 4 beitzim for half a kikar. So we need to eat a kezayis. If you assume the most machmir window of time that you have to eat a kezayis within, it's the amount of time that it takes to eat 3 beitzim. Right? How long does it take to? How big is 3 beitzim? So there's a further machlokas: is a kezayis a chatzi beitza or a shlish beitza? Is a kezayis half of a beitza or 1/3 of a beitza? So let's assume the most machmir combination. Right? Assume that a zayis is a half a beitza, and that a pras is only 3 beitzim, not 4 beitzim. So the most machmir combination is that you have to eat a kezayis of matzah in the time that it would take a person to eat, a normal person eating normally, to eat 3 beitzim. Right? That's which is 6 kezesim of matzah. So the most machmir combination, you have to eat a kezayis of matzah in the amount of time that it would take to eat 6 kezesim of matzah. If you want to go with the most makel combination, then it would be 12 kezesim of matzah, because if it's 4 beitzim is a pras, and a kezayis is a shalish beitza, then it would be the amount of time that it takes to eat 12 beitim. So somewhere between the amount of time that it takes to eat 6 and 12 kezesim of matzah is the amount of time that you have to eat a kezias of matzah. Why am I mentioning this? Because a lot of times people have ridiculous shitos that in terms of eating a kezias and the amount of time that they have to eat a kezias. People take obscene amounts of matzah and they to try to fulfill that sheer kezias, which by the way is roughly the size of an aleph, and they have to be makbid to swallow the whole thing at one time and to eat it all, to finish everything within kedei achidus pras. And what's kedei achidus pras? So they find the shita, 2 minutes. Obviously, if you hold kedei achidus pras 2 minutes, you hold that your kezias is very, very tiny. Meaning it's all proportional. The amount of time. So there is a machlokas, it's true, there's a machlokas between berlach and minchas chinuch. How do we measure kedei achidus pras? Is kedei achidus pras based on each and every food? So it's the amount of time that it would take a normal person to eat a pras of matzah? Or is kedei achidus pras in Mishmurah holds kedei achidus pras is based on a pras pas lechem chitim? That amount of time it would take to eat regular wheat bread. Okay, so ein achinami, it takes longer to eat matzah than it takes to eat regular bread. But still, it's hard to imagine that you really have to eat in such an unnatural way. I mean, you literally have 6 times the amount of time that it would take a normal person to eat your kezias. So if you have a larger kezias, it means you have a larger pras as well. So it seems unreasonable for people to try to stuff their face too much. Yeah, nothing wrong with having a large share of kezias, as long as you don't impose your shiurim on other people. But you want to have a large share of kezias, you shouldn't eat dangerously. Eat normally. If you eat normally, you're well within kedei achilas pras, well within the shear of kedei achilas. You don't have to be timing it by minutes. Be timing it by how a normal person eats. And then you're well within a shear of kedei achilas. Kedei achilas pras. My parents, Rabbi Kalish, he's known as like the big makel on kezias. He says, "I'm a big man. Just eat normally. That's you know how much? A small amount. You know, whatever. What looks like roughly a kezias. You know that they say this type. We used to say kezias is of matzah is the size of your palm, right? The size of your hand. That amount of matzah." Rav Shapta always told us by Rav Shimon Shkap that his father-in-law lived by Rav Shimon Shkap for 2 years. Rav Shimon Shkap would take one matzah and he'd make 5 or 6 kezias out of a matzah. He'd give kezias to 5 or 6 people. He says he wasn't a Hasidish Rebbe. He wasn't a Bal Meifetz where the matzah was growing and it was that's what a kezias was. So if you have a third of a matzah, for sure, it's for sure well within a shear of kezias. Okay, says Gemara further now. Says Gemara Velema im nasin tamavkam mutter. Why do you say imriba tamavkam? Just say im nasin tamavkam mutter. Even though there are other things that are pogging it with it, vilsa kalishna basra de Reish Lakish. Are we passing like lishna basra de Reish Lakish that we don't say chaseira melach, yaseira melach? No, if it's not in time of kam, it's going to be mutter. We don't start thinking about how we could have countered this tam pogum with other ingredients. Amar Rav Kana, midivrei kulam nilmad. What we see from all of these different Amorayim in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, all of these different Amorayim, Rashi points out, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Chana, Rabbi Dimi, Reish Lakish, Rabbi Avo, from all of them we see, nosin tam of gam mutter. Then nosin tam of gam is mutter. Amar Abai Bishlam mikulu lechi. Says, yeah, I see that from most of them, Elod Reish Lakish, Amru ka amar velelo svirle. But Reish Lakish says Amru, that they said. Sounds like Reish Lakish himself does not hold that nosin tam of gam is mutter. Mechal dikel madyam nosin tam of gam aser. It must be that there's some shita in Tanoim that holds nosin tam of gam is aser. Says Gemara, yeah, there is such a shita. Vatanya, echa nosin tam of gam, vecha nosin tam of shvach. Asr divre meir. Rameir's shita is that if a davar asr gives tam into your food, even if it gives negative tam into your food, it's going to be asr. Rabbi Shimon Omer l'shvach asr l'fgam mutter. Rabbi Shimon holds what we baskin like, that if it's nosin tam l'shvach is asr, nosin tam l'fgam is going to be mutter. My time at Rameir, where does Rameir get the idea that nosin tam l'fgam is going to be asr as well? Gamra miki ule of the kuchavim. He derives it from the chiyuv to kasher kelim that you get from non-Jews. Gili of the chavim lav nosin tam l'fgam hu va'asur achmana hachanami lo shna. By gili of the chavim, you think the tam that was balua in those kelim was the tam l'shvach? No, it was a tam l'fgam. It clearly wasn't a positive tam anymore. And nevertheless, the Torah requires kashering the kelim. So over here also, the assumption is that tam lufgam is going to be asur. The Torah requires it because we assume that it's going to be asur. Now there is a discussion in terms of kashering kelim that there. We're not going to go through everything in half a minute, but the basic idea of kashering kelim is that there are two basic types of kashering. There's what's called hagala, what's called libun. Hagala is that we use boiling water to draw out the tam. Libun is that we burn out any tam with fire. There's a big difference between the two. By libun, it completely destroys and obliterates the tam entirely. By hagala, it's drawing out the tam, then being mevatel the tam. Let's say you take the chametz fork, you dip it in boiling water, so the tam of chametz comes out of that fork into this massive pot of water, and therefore becomes batel in that massive pot of water. And then when the tam goes back into the fork, it's already batel. So there's a big difference, because the Achrona points out, if you're relying on Hagala, you're assuming that it becomes batel, which would mean that you're not allowed to do that on Pesach, because chametz is also b'mashu on Pesach. It can only be batel in advance of Pesach. So a lot of times people will go to hotels, just stam on a Chol HaMoed trip, to not kosher hotels, just stam a hotel, and they want to kasher the microwave, they want to kasher different things in the hotel. You have to be very careful. Libun could work even on Pesach. Libun chomer, if you're actually going to burn, blowtorch things out, that's very hard to do. But Hagala is not going to work on Pesach. Hagala only works in advance of Pesach. Okay, we'll continue with this sugya tomorrow.